If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn and I am your host. I have with me today as a guest, Donika Gunther. She is the founder of Mindfulness with a Purpose. She's based in Erie, Pennsylvania. Donika empowers and motivates women, men, and children globally to get in touch and activate their healing power to gain unlimited confidence to live a mindful life full of abundance. It is her long, challenging life journey that ignited her light, her truthfulness, and her path to support not just her journey, but all souls around. For over 30 years, she has been helping people from all walks of life to master their confidence, ignite self-love, and embrace success and abundance. There is nothing more rewarding to her than listening to her clients say, quote, "You changed my life for the better," end quote. To all those who have dreams waiting or on the way to make their dreams come true, either in the personal or professional level, she is here to say, keep going. Keep moving forward. It's your journey. It's your story. Start creating what you want. Just make sure you are happy with how you feel during the process. Please help me welcome Donika Gunther. Donika, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I heard your story and I was so amazed and I'm so happy that you agreed to appear as a guest on the show. How's your day going so far? Good?
It's a blessing day. Thank you for asking.
That's wonderful. Well, as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is and the good things in life. And they represent the good things in life. The bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. Now, it's no secret that everybody in the world at some point in time or another has a brick or several bricks thrown at them. Mine, obviously, my biggest brick was 9/11 when I was on the 78th floor of Tower One when the first plane hit. But my audience knows my story. You know what they don't know? They don't know your story. Now, it sounds like life was great for you, all right, from what I just read. But as we know, we all get hit with bricks throughout our lifetime. Now, in your life, you've had some bricks thrown at you, including coming to the U.S. as an immigrant, a marriage that ended in divorce, just to name a few. But can you take us back to those early years and tell us how you managed to get through it all?
Yes. So I was born in Albania in a family of six siblings, and I have two wonderful parents, mom and dad. But at the time that I was born and growing, it was communist country. We were under China and Russia, you know, regime. And it was very poor. And we, from the food, how much we have, from the school rules and family rules, you know. But one thing that we learned from that is rules and discipline and respect. Because we didn't have much, but we have each other, we have the parents, we have a lot of friends, you know, we share what we have. So sometime out, we have to see life, like what come out of that? What is the lesson that we learn? So it was very hard to grow up. We were really poor, didn't have much, but that is not all, because everybody can pass like eating once in a day, but my family was hit three times with the death of three brothers. So
Oh my God. Three brothers?
Yes. What? I had three brothers. They were older than me and I was the fourth child. And now I have two sisters. So my first brother went to visit my grandma and he was passing the street and a drunk driver killed him. He was only 12. So the...
And where was that? What country was that? In Albania? That was in Albania. Okay.
Correct. So the second brother was 3 years old and he had yellow fever and he went too far. They couldn't save him. And my last brother and the only the one was left. He was 29 and he left in Greece for a better life because he wanted to provide for the family better life. And he was passing the road and it was on the white line. A drunk driver was like cursed, killed him instantly, threw him up in the air. So he died too. And he left his wife 27. He was 29, a son, and the unborn, the daughter was born 2 weeks after that. So this is too much to handle because, but what I learned from that and the family, it kept us close and it gave us a lot of compassion to how to help people through the pain and suffering and death. Because when you know all three of that, pain, suffering, and death, is like you become really soft. And you understand people even without talking. And that it helped me as a very intuitive person. I am very intuitive to understand people even without opening their mouth. And this is the gift that I always give to them.
Let me ask you this. How old were you at each stage?
The first brother, I was 3. The second brother, I was 6. And the last brother, I was 21. I had 2 weeks. I just finished college. 2 weeks after I finished college. And that happened.
Wow. And that happened in Greece. He was in Greece when that happened.
Correct. He was
and
in
you
Greece.
Were, and you were in America.
In Albania. And
you were still in Albania.
Correct. And as soon as that happened, my dad had stroke and he stayed for 12 years and my mom had a heart attack. So it was really hard. So it was very, some big bricks to handle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how you come back from that. How did you deal with that?
I think my parents were so strong because they every day told us we weren't prepared for that. We didn't ask for whenever God did it, you know, was a purpose for that. And they are our angels. They came here, finished their journey, and they went back home. We all are going one day. But meanwhile, we have to love each other, support each other. And they give us the best gift to love and support each other. Me and my sister are really, really close. One is in London. I am in here. The other one in Albania. Every day we talk and support each other.
Are your parents still around?
No, they passed away 14 years ago. 6 months to each other.
6 months. Wow. Wow. Okay. So so they're gone. So you're here, sister in London.
Correct.
Sister in Albania.
Yes.
Does your sister in Albania have any desire or wants or care to come to America, to move to America? Or is she very happy where she is?
She is a dermatologist and she's the president of our dermatology in Albania. So she built up everything from scratch. So
wow.
She's very successful, Brunilda Bardi. She is well known. And my baby sister, she has 25 years in London. She's married with a British guy and she's a very famous YouTuber, artist and everything. Yes.
Wow.
So Every single one have their own passion and, you know, they are creative in different way. But we came from third world country. It was like I never thought that I ever am going to travel outside of Albania, even in Italy or Greece, because it was close, was communist. I became Democrat the year I finished college. Because when I left Albania, I was 27 years old and it was the Kosovo War.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. That is the time that I left.
Wow. Okay. So what did you do when you got here?
So I finished college for biology, chemistry, and I work as a teacher for a few years in Albania. So my baby sister was married to a British guy. He worked for the British governor in Ireland, Anguilla, next to St. Martin in Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So was the first time for her. She left Albania and she was like, I'm alone. I need to see somebody. So I decided to visit her because it was a summer break. Mm-hmm. And I went there and I never left. They introduced me to my ex-husband. He has a house and business in there. And I lived there for 5 years. but was very hard to work because they don't give me a work permit. So I needed to work. It's good to go for tourism and everything, but you know, I was too young not to work. Right. So I gave birth to my daughter, Christina. She's 21 right now.
Wow.
And yes, it was a beautiful life. It changed everything. I think like for every setback is a comeback. I think like my brother paved the road for us, like their love and protection and everything is towards us, you know, they giving these ideas and this love and guidance and everything. I always feel like, and my parents is always there around and celebrate with us.
Wow. So tell us, what are you doing now?
I'm a teacher. Daily I work as a teacher. I teach science. I've been teaching for 32 years. So I love teaching kids. But
what age group? What are you teaching? What grades are you teaching?
7th and 8th grade right now.
7th and 8th.
Yes. Wow. 14 years ago, when I came here, I didn't know any English. So zero. I knew French and Italian and Albanian, but I started to tell young kids like preschool, kindergarten, and better than I become with my English, I advance. So I worked for 4 years in high school and 2 years ago because the program expanded and I wanted to help schools and especially the young kids with mindfulness. So 8 years ago, I opened a program. It's called Mindfulness with a Purpose for Kids. And I teach them through yoga and meditation, leadership, self-love, confidence, how to let go and not to hurt themselves. Because, you know, it's a very fragile age for the kids to love themselves and its environment, peers and family. So it has expanded and I've helped a lot in community. But when I saw how successful it was with kids and I was like, oh, my God, women need this. Men need it.
Right.
So I opened my mindfulness with a purpose and has been a success because I do life coaching one-on-one. I do group coaching. And during the COVID, I've worked every single day to inspire people, uplift them, give some tools and techniques to reduce stress and anxiety. And it has been well, but I have most of my clients then come. They don't know how to release the pain and let go from the past. And that's all I do through the healing. I guide them what center I do the chakra healing, what center is blocked, how to let go. And I bring the awareness to them, hopes and to believe on themselves. So they understand what is the root cause and how to unblock that and see the light. So pretty much they're very happy.
Wow. That's amazing. So you had a very difficult childhood. You lost 3 brothers. You wind up coming to America. You don't speak a word of English, but you're obviously very smart. You went to college. You got degrees or you majored in sciences and math and the like. And you just worked your way up it's amazing. It's like the, you know, I want to say, it's like the immigrant dream, you know, you come from a communist country and you come to the United States where you can, you know, realize your dreams. I have to ask you, and I really don't get political. I really, really don't. But I have to ask you, you know, coming from a communist country, what was it like? I mean, what was it like when you came to America? All right. And like, did you feel that you had all this opportunity, that all you needed to do was, you know, go out and get it? What was it like? What were you feeling? Obviously there was a difference in the countries, you know, in the two forms of government. One was a dictatorship or communism. I'm sorry. One was a communist country. This is a capitalist country. What was it like?
So communist country, we had schedule for everything. Like, I'll tell you some funny stories, for example. We have 2 channels to watch TV, Yugoslavia and Albania. People walk around to see, like, if you talk anything bad about governor, you go in prison for rest of your life. They have been, so many people have died. You couldn't write anything like poem or movies. Everything have to be about our leadership. And it's like a fake life, you know? It's like, we have to write like everybody's happy and no complaining ever. So the only people that travel out of Albania were people, then they were like doctors, politicians, and their families. Mm-hmm. Like a middle class, never. Other one, food. We have like 6 people at home. We have like to buy 1 pound of sugar and flour and bread, like 2-3 loaves of bread. And you stay in line for milk and yogurt and meat. We used to wake up at 2-3 o'clock, and we used to put like a plastic jars or rocks or twigs, and we know which one was, and go back to sleep because 6 o'clock they open, and whenever bought the milk or yogurt, but the rest go empty hand at home. So many times wasn't enough food, and we have uniform in school. We have to go with uniform. We have to have black dress, like a red scarf, and a white collar, white socks every day. They come and check every day, like fingernails, not to be dirty, your hair, not to have headlights every day. If you're dirty, and they send you home and said that, and once in a month we have meeting in the town, and if the kids didn't behave good, the parents didn't do good, they call you in front of the city, like your name is there. Everybody know what's going on. So it was like so much pain to go through that. It's like big bullies.
How did you manage to leave?
Well, my brother-in-law, because he worked for the governor, and he...
That's the one in England?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he worked for governor, Albanian embassy in there for a few years. So he knew all the people, and he helped me to get a visa to leave. So not everybody was so lucky. So when I came here, oh my God, I never have seen Walmart. It was so big, and I was like, wow. And my ex-husband say, oh, honey, this is small. He was like, wait till we go in America, because I was in Anguilla, and we went in St. Martin. That is gorgeous, you know? It's like St. Croix, Barbados, all the places then. But it was beautiful. When I came in America, it's like, one thing I want to say, if people have dreams and want to make the change, you can make the change. Be that change. Nobody can stop you. I felt like that little kid, Alice in Wonderland, then I fall in that hole, and little by little, I keep going up and up. I didn't rediscover myself. I was like, wow, where did we live all these years? Because we saw a movie. But when you come in person, it's different energy, environment, a life unfolding different way. But don't give up, because that is another chance. It's a second chance. It's inviting you. Hey, do it. You see, it's like apples fall from the tree in your hands, and you have it. Don't throw away. So to me, I'm very grateful for everything. I came educated. The only thing I didn't know, English. And as soon as I learn, you know, I upgrade, you know, my social study and everything. But my ex-husband was American, so he's from Erie, Pennsylvania. He helped me, my father-in-law, friends, you know, they is something in America. If you work hard and you are kind, they always help you, always. But if you come with the attitude, I know everything, nobody wants to be around. So ask for help. Be who you are. Say, I need help, you know, or I don't understand that. Can you teach me? Just like a kid, because I was a woman, but I was a kid. I need to start over everything. So wow. I enjoyed everything. This process has been so good to learn a new life.
Wow. So let me ask you this. Did you ever reach a point in your life where you were so low, you know, things just weren't going your way? Obviously, you know, you had it when your brothers died and the like. But were you ever in a situation where you just like threw your hands up and says, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm giving up. I don't care about my dreams anymore. I just can't do it. And if you did reach that point, how did you get out of it? How did you climb out of that type of situation?
Yeah, but my divorce was the hardest one. So I stayed married for 10 years. Beginning was really good. Was communication as much as we know, but was so much love in there. But when we came here, it's like I'm more soulful person, non-material person. And I always like loved people when I was out there. And the conflict start, my ex-husband had that, he wanted his own stuff, I wanted, and we start clashing. And it was more about, oh, now then you are here, is that control. And I never drove. The only thing he always told me, you can't drive because you don't have driving skills. And if you drive, you go and kill our daughter. So you don't know how to write a check. You never can do anything without me. It was a lot of that.
Oh, wow. So
verbally abused, sometimes, when physical. So one day I went in Albania 1 year, and I was so sad, and I was hiding from my parents. But my mom said, this is not the daughter that I raised. Something is wrong with you. And I said, I'm not happy in the marriage. And she was like, what stopped you to gain your freedom? You left Albania with nothing, and you are in America, and you don't think then you can do it again? She was like, I told you to have respect for yourself, to love yourself, and nobody ever can put a finger on you. It's like, that is not love. So I came home and I told my ex, I said, I need a divorce. And he said, no, but we don't want it to get divorced because my daughter was 7, but it didn't work anymore. And that is when I lost myself. I was so sad, so hurt, ashamed. I am the first one in the family to go in college after my sister went and to get divorced. Nobody ever got divorced. But my parents, my sister, my family support me because they know who I am. I never would do anything to hurt anybody. But I have to save myself and show my daughter then, we have to move from this toxic environment and live a life, healthy life.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. But you climbed out of it. And you climbed out of it. That's amazing. And then you started the coaching business and teaching wow. It sounds like you did. You're happy that you didn't give up on your dreams because you attained your dreams. You've got your goals.
I did.
And that's just wonderful. So, let me ask you this before we leave, do you have any like words of wisdom for my audience? Something that they can take away from this conversation.
Yes, I do. No matter where you come from, no matter what people say about you, no matter what that little voice, the ego voice tells you, then you are not good enough. You can do it. You can reach your dreams and success. Please. All the time when you wake up, open your heart and be grateful. Gratitude is everything. If you have one more day, ask yourself, what can I do today to make myself a better version of myself and to serve others with love and compassion? You are here because you came to leave your blueprint as a person. You are a spirit that came in this planet, in this earth, to leave a message to others, to improve and empower the next generation. Doesn't matter you are a chef, a doctor, a teacher, a coach, anything. You have your voice, you have your skills, your gift, your talent. Please share. Even the smile, sometimes that is the best. Eyes are the window for the soul. Smile is the connection, is I'm here for you. So give that unconditionally. People need connection. I am connector. I think I came from Albania in America to connect people. So when I come and do interview, I talk Albanian, English. I bridge both lives. And I say, keep the faith, the hope, and be grateful for everything. Every second chance is a chance. Every new day is for you to go a ladder up, to step up not to go down. Don't look down. And change the fear to courage. Be faithful to your dreams. Be faithful to your passion and to your purpose. Don't lose your passion and purpose. If you don't have passion and purpose, you live in an empty life.
That is amazing. That is so incredible. It's okay. So let me ask you this. If people want to get a hold of you, whether they want coaching or whether they want one of your programs or they just want to schmooze with you, how would they do that? How would they get a hold of you? Do you have a website? Do you have a email address? Yes. Tell us.
I have my website. I'm just redoing the website, but will be next week up and go, but they can reach me at coachdonica@gmail.com. And I am Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, anywhere. They can text me through the Facebook Messenger, or I can put the phone number in that you have, I think, in my bio. Everything is in there.
Okay. That's wonderful. So it's coachdonica@gmail.com.
Correct.
And what is the website?
DonicaGunther.com.
DonicaGunther.com. Donica, yes. D-O-N-I-K-A, correct. G-U-N-T-H-E-R. E-R.com. DonicaGunther.com. Donica, it's a great story, amazing story. We're happy that you are in this country. You've become a productive member of society in this country, which is wonderful. You're no different than, you know, half the country where, you know, I mean, this country is a melting pot. I mean, most people, you know, have not, you know, are like third generation, you know, maybe they're third generation Americans.
Okay. So, you know, thanks for sharing that, your story.
Immigrants.
I'm sure you
over.
Touched the hearts of.
All right. So you give a lot of courage to a lot of people. All right. And we're so happy that you're here. I thank you so much for being on my show. Many people in my audience. Good luck going forward. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shoman. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.